May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 791. 791. When deaf to every warning given, man braved the patient power of heaven. Great in his anger, God arose, deluged the world, and drowned his foes. Hymn 791.
Thank you. Our reading this evening you'll find in two portions of scripture. Firstly, we'll read from the book of Psalms and Psalm 90, and then the first epistle of Peter, chapter 1. Firstly, let us turn to the book of Psalms and Psalm number 90. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labour and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Now we'll turn to the first epistle of Peter and chapter 1. The first epistle of Peter, chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you, with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth, through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth for ever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth for ever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. I leave the reading of God's word there this evening, and may we each be given a spirit of real living prayer. Most holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, help us each now to worship Thee, the Triune God. Lord, we know that without Thee we can do nothing, and we cannot worship aright tonight. But may we have been led. May we have been given that right frame of mind. May we have offered up that prayer already this evening, that we, in our assembling together this evening, may know what it is to be those true worshippers. Be those that bring honour and glory to Thy name. And may it be so this evening, that we may find this place to be a sanctuary, that we may find this place to be the place where thou dost draw near and go with us, so that as we leave at the end of this service, we may go on our way heading towards thy day, longing for more. Not longing for more because we have received nothing, but when we do receive, oh, how our hearts are drawn after thee. For Lord, we come as sinners before thee. Yet we come unto thee through thy dear Son, that faithful and merciful High Priest, that one that was tempted in all points like as we are. And what temptations we feel we have to endure. But we thank thee for thy dear Son, that has indeed suffered far more greatly than we can ever imagine. O Lord, ever deliver us from a religion which just wants the ease, but give us that religion that crucifies the flesh, that lays us low, but draws our eyes unto thee. O Lord, if that can be the case tonight, where one and another can be found looking heavenward, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, looking unto that one who is the same yesterday, today and forever. Oh, it will be a day of rejoicing. Thou knowest how all have come, those who long for thy presence, who long to be fed from thy word, who long to know what it is to lay hold upon a precious Christ through faith. O Lord, we cannot give the hard hearts life. We cannot take away the stony hearts. But as enabled, we can lay thy word before them, and we plead for the power of thy Spirit to fit it to their case and situation. Lord, we see the years are ticking by. We see the children growing into teenagers and the teenagers into adults. And we see those in the early years of adulthood reaching those middle stages. We see those growing old and we see those passing away. And we are ever reminded that our life is brief and fleeting. And may our cry be in the lines of that hymn, while our days on earth are lengthened, may we give them, Lord, to thee. O, enable each one, Lord, that is thine, to take up their cross and to follow after thee. Lord, we pray that we may see a searching of heart by thee, and a searching of heart enabled by thyself, by ourselves, so that we are purged from all that's wrong and are led to walk in that narrow way that leads to life eternal. So we may be those that are not just static and weak, but those that are growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We pray for the children and young people here this evening, or those that were here as well this afternoon, those that are connected with our churches in one way and another, Lord, we and connected with us. We pray for them all. Oh, may they be given much grace in the day in which they are growing up in. May they be kept from all harm and danger. May they be kept from all snares and temptations. And whether they be educated at school or educated at home, Give them, Lord, that right wisdom to use the gifts that thou hast given them to the best of their abilities. But Lord, we pray that above all, thou wilt work within their hearts, that they may be those that truly seek after thee. And as they may be taught in the Sunday school here, and taught by their parents at home, O Lord, may they be those ones that desire that which the world cannot give them, and desire to know thee. So we pray for them. Do bless them. Quicken them in the days of their youth, so that they may be raised up to be true pillars in this place. Pray that they will provide for them as they grow up those right partners for life's journey, and those that have those desires and prayers in that regard. Oh Lord, do make the way clear and plain, so that one and another are enabled to join together in that right way, and that other generations will be brought in to worship in this place and to serve thee. And we would pray for all those that no longer see a need to come and worship and have left all form of religion. Lord, do open the blind eyes, we pray, and bring back those that have far gone. But we would pray for those that have never come into this place, from this village. May there be that drawing in of many to come and worship thee. And may there be thy powerful hand seen, and those opportunities given to each of us in our daily lives to be that light in a dark place, and to be that right witness. Lord, we pray once more for our friend from this congregation who is so unwell in hospital at this time. Lord, if it be thy will, do give him that increase in his strength. If it be thy will, Lord, do bless him at this time of affliction. And we thank thee for his loving support to this place of worship over so many years. And if it be thy will, when his strength is renewed, may he be able to testify that thou hast been good unto him. So do be with him and his family about him. Lord, do be with them each at this time of trial and distress for them all. We pray for those that are in grief and sorrow at this time. Lord, we would pray for the Aston family with that loss of that young man. Oh Lord, we pray for them all, the close family and the wider family and all connected. Lord, do we pray comfort at this great time. But many others that mourn too, that we know of in one way and another, those that may mourn after many years still, O Lord, we pray that thou wilt draw near and comfort all. But may it be a reminder to us each that we do not know when our last day will be. We do not know when our last worship service will be. O Lord, it is not too late. For any here this evening, may we be found as thy children. We pray for those in the congregation and church that bear many responsibilities. We pray for the deacons here. Do help them as they carry out their many labours that are required to support the church and congregation. We pray for them together. Grant them that help day by day. And we pray that they will raise up others in this church to serve, to assist and to strengthen in this place, that thou wilt supply all their needs. And as that building work carries on this place, Lord, we thank thee for the means to enable them to do that. And Lord, as we also think of the charity for which the collection is today, Lord, may each and every one be blessed in their giving. And may we truly be thankful for what we have and be willing givers of what we do have. So Lord, as we pray for those in the congregation that are elderly and know that there cannot be many years left in their lives, oh give them, Lord, that comfort in the latter years of their life, that although their soul through many changes goes. Thy love no variation knows. Settle them more and more on the solid truth of thy word and thy unchanging nature. Give them those comforts from time to time to rest upon the rock, Christ Jesus, so that they may each be ready, and we each may be ready when that great day comes. We pray for one expected to preach to them here tomorrow, to be with our friend and help him as he, in the increasing years of his life, feels he cannot do what he used to do. We thank thee for his many, many years of faithful and unrelenting service. Lord, do bless him still. Profit his labours still, we pray. And may many here that gather prove it to be a good day. We pray for all causes of truth represented here tonight, in all their varying needs and worries and concerns. Lord, may they prove tomorrow as well, whether it be reading services or visiting ministers or pastors, whatever the situation is, Lord, may thy blessing be upon thy day. Oh, may it be that chief day in seven for us, that one that we all look forward to. Lord, we pray for our nation at this time. Lord, we are in times where we struggle to know how to pray aright. Lord, it is true we have not been given what we deserve, but Lord, we tremble what we have been given. Lord, yet we know that all authority and power is given by thee. We deserve far, far worse, but may thy hand rest upon the government that we currently have over us. Lord, do row back the forces of evil that can operate within the corridors of power, and may we see thy powerful hand. Pray for the global situation where there is unrest and warfare and conflict. Lord, there can so quickly become great wars and world wars. Lord, we see powerful nations flexing their strength. Lord, it's all in thy hand, and may thy people rest in it. Pray for thy persecuted and afflicted people throughout this world. Be with them in their times of, we're going to say trouble, but Lord, if thou art near, even in those times of trouble, it will be times of rejoicing. But do be with thy one true church throughout this earth, where there are no denominations, where there are no national boundaries. Lord, what a marvel that thy people are scattered throughout this earth and will one day be all gathered together. Oh, give us stronger faith to long for that day, to beg for that day to come. Lord, may we each be able to desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Oh, show us it is far better. Continually show us. Lord, that is what we need. But we now come to thy word. Lord, help us to open it up to the people. Give us every word to speak, and give them those ears to hear and those hearts to receive thy word. May it be a living word, a word endued with power from on high, that suits their case. Lord, without thee we can do nothing, none of us. But may we each prove this evening that we can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Oh, go before us. Bless us with thy presence. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Let thy bright beams arise and dispel the darkness from our minds. Open all our eyes. Forgive everything that we have asked wrongly. Forgive our many sins. And make up in giving where we do so fail. For we ask all for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn number 82. Rejoice, ye saints, in every state. Divine decrees remain unmoved. No turns of providence abate God's care for those he once has loved. Hymn number 82.
Help us all once more this evening as we turn to his word. And I'll ask you to turn with me to the psalm that we read together. Psalm number 90 and the 12th verse. Psalm 90 and verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. We spoke this afternoon, for those of you that were unable to be here, from those words in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 35, unto thee it was showed, that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God, there is none else beside him. And we tried to look at God's instruction through Moses to the children of Israel of the benefit of pondering that which we have been showed. And this evening, as the Lord may help us to carry that on in a slightly different theme, but not to ponder necessarily what the Lord has done, but the number of our days. For, as it says above the psalm in my Bible, man's life is short. And it is short. But the problem is, whether we are young or old, we don't know how short. And so, this prayer of Moses, the man of God, was this. So, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So what does that mean? This is not just a desire to count how many days we have been on this earth, 365 times whatever many years we are, plus a couple of months and a couple of weeks, less a few leap years. No. This is the thought. This is the pondering of the brevity of our life, and that there is something beyond our life. And you all know, maybe, what it is to number your days in a natural way. You children and young people here tonight know the natural excitement that it is when your birthday comes around again. And when you are very young, it is very exciting for reasons that you will often get things that you want. But as you get older, it becomes less exciting. And as you become even older, it can become not so much exciting, but searching and, in one way, worrying. Because we have in this psalm, don't we, the days of our years are 70 and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labour and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. And we have had examples in this past year, or just over a year, of one and another being taken in the relative years of their youth. And seldom do we actually think When will my day be? But you may be thinking, well, this isn't very much of a Thanksgiving sermon, is it? If there is one of us tonight that is truly led to number our days and apply our hearts unto wisdom, it will be a day of thanksgiving. My thoughts go to a verse in the book of Deuteronomy later on than where we looked at this morning. No, this afternoon, sorry. But we see in Deuteronomy 32:29, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. And it is a theme that runs through the Word of God. Psalm 39, I think it is. We have in that psalm, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am. And it was no different in the book of Ecclesiastes, was it? Written by Solomon. What did he have to say? He had much to say, didn't he? But he said, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. And so we see that theme of the brevity of life, the shortness of life. But in these words of Solomon, he says, there's no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. So our text says, doesn't it? Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So, what is this wisdom? What is this wisdom that is being spoken of here? If we live wisely in this life, and if we are taught of God, our days will be spent not for ourselves, but for our God. And our days will be used as help is given in preparation for our end. Wisdom. Let us turn to the words of the wisest man that ever lived. What did he have to say about what this life had to offer? In that book of Ecclesiastes, which we have already turned to, what did he say in the second verse? Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labour, which he taketh under the sun? And how does he close that book in the final chapter? Vanity of vanities, nearly at the end of it anyway. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. All is vanity. Solomon was a man who had so much in this life. More than you and I can ever dream of. And that book that he wrote in the latter days of his life, he had to hold his hands up before an almighty God and really say, what was it all about? Have you been taught to number your days and apply your hearts unto wisdom and say, what's it all about? What am I doing here? Teach us to number our days. You children and young ones here, you know what it is when you are educated and you will look to the next stage. to a different challenge, another birthday, another year, another setting. May leave one form of education and go into another, and you're anticipating the next thing and the joy that will come with it. And then you go maybe to college and you think, oh, now I can get a career, I can do what I want to do, and you get to that next stage. And you think, oh, maybe I can get married, and you get to that stage. And then you go, oh, maybe I can have a family, and you get to that stage. And you go, oh, wouldn't it be nice when our children are grown up, and you get to that stage. Or wouldn't it be nice when I retire, and you get to that stage. And your life ticks by. And then you suddenly get to that realization. What was it all about? Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. May we be given grace to use this life for the honour and glory of God, and not for ourselves. May we be given wisdom, as we will look at in a little while, to lay up those heavenly treasures rather than those earthly treasures. Do you ponder how much time you waste? I do, to my shame. I waste so much time in unprofitable things continually. And it does us each good to number our hours, number our days. Oh, but it's only half an hour in the morning I spend doing this, and half an hour in the evening doing this. And maybe half an hour before I go to bed, and sometimes half an hour at lunchtime. So it's 2 hours. 2 hours. 6 days a week. 12 hours. Times that by the weeks of the year, you've soon got a pretty big chunk of time. Times that by a decade. Times that by your life. Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Teach us to ponder, like we said this afternoon, what the Lord has done, what the Lord is doing, what his word teaches us, whether we are ready to meet him, rather than consuming ourselves with every little distraction about us. And you know, I don't ever think that I don't know what you go through, because I do know what it is to struggle in these ways. I know what it is to try and sit down to prepare to preach and meditate on the word of God, and my mind to be all over the place, and to waste time that I should be using in a right way. I don't put myself up here as being better than you in any way. But dear friends, we each need this, because we do not know how long our days are. And what a thing it will be, and it is to many people, to be brought to their deathbed with those regrets of those things they did not do which they should have done. Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So what is some of this wisdom as we ponder the brevity of life? One point is this: we'll think little of this world's riches if God gives us wisdom to number our days and apply our hearts unto wisdom. We'll think little of what this world has to offer. View it this way: we do not have the death sentence in this country anymore, but imagine you're a prisoner, and tomorrow, you know, is the day where you'll be executed. What good would it do you if you were given £1 million on that day? It wouldn't be any good to you at all, would it? But it's no different for us. It's just that we don't know the day of our death. But we have the words of Jesus, don't we? He clearly said, didn't he? Lay not up for yourselves treasures on this earth. And why? Why are we not to lay up those treasures on this earth? Because moth and rust corrupts them, and thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. I went to visit my granddad this week in the Bethesda home at Brighton on the Monday. He's now 102, I think, something like that. And towards the end of the week, he suddenly took a turn for the worse and became very unwell. And the close family were called to his bedside, thinking he wouldn't last. But to cut a long story short, he has recovered and he appears fine at this time. But he has been in his bed for I think probably 5 or 6 years, and has not left his bed. Anything that he has earned, got in this life, any earthly treasure that he has earned, it's utterly useless. And it will be even more useless when he is taken to the grave. Dear friends, we do not despise that which the Lord gives us. And we should never be unthankful for what we are given. And it is right if God gives us gifts, you young people, never think that we shouldn't work hard and we shouldn't try and do our best and earn that which we have the ability to earn. But may we never treasure it above the Lord. May we never make it an idol. May we be able to apply our hearts to wisdom and treasure those heavenly things. Treasure those things that can never be taken from you. Treasure Christ himself. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And where are your hearts tonight? Where is your treasure tonight? Have you been able and taught to number your days and apply your hearts unto wisdom? But when we are given this wisdom and are unable to apply our hearts unto wisdom, we think little of this world's riches. But when we are unable to, we think little too of this life's sorrows. And this life will be a life of sorrow. It will be interspersed with sorrow throughout it. But when we are taught to truly number our days, we'll be able to say, won't we, with the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Because when we are taught to number our days and apply our hearts unto wisdom, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are seen, not seen, are eternal. That's how Paul could speak of those light afflictions. Those light afflictions of being stoned, suffering shipwreck, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by his own countrymen, by the heathen, in the city, in the wilderness, in the sea, among false brethren. All these things he knew. They were light afflictions. Because he had been given wisdom to number his days and eyes to look beyond this life. Oh, may we be enabled to do so, to number our days, that we may plow our hearts unto wisdom. Another way in which this wisdom will make us think, it will make us realise that all joy on this earth, earthly joy, is passing and transient. And do you know what it is, you younger ones, when your birthday or Christmas comes and you have a present before you and you anticipate something and there is joy in anticipation and you open that present and that joy that you were hoping that you would know. Do you know what I mean? When it's not quite there. Not quite what you wanted. Or you look forward to going away on holiday and you look forward to it most of the year and it comes and yes, it's good, but it's not quite what you wanted it to be. It's really what the hymn writer describes. That empty void that the world can never fill. But the world will just keep on trying to fill that void. To fill that void. To fill that void with anything they can. And what do? When they know their days are ending and they're diagnosed with some terminal disease, they have that, what is called a bucket list of things that they must do before they die. Why? Because they're trying to reach that joy that the world cannot give them. But when we're taught to number our days, when we are enabled to apply our hearts unto wisdom, oh, we see these joys. There's nothing really there. Thankful for many mercies, but it's all fading away. Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. But to consider now, as we don't do this as we should, why don't we do this? Why are we slow to number our days? Well, firstly, we don't like the task, do we, of thinking about our end. And it is an increasing problem in our day. We no longer have funerals. We have celebrations of life. Many places you will now, or funerals, there'll be no coffin. The burial will be done and dusted. And the body will not be there before you. It's even known now in so many situations where there is not a funeral at all. The body goes to the funeral directors, goes to the crematorium, and the ashes are delivered in a pot, and there's no funeral at all. Death is removed. And we don't like to ponder it, and it's not a nice thing to ponder, is it? Our death. But it's a wise thing to do. But we don't do it because we don't like the task. And maybe there is some of you here tonight who do not like this task because of what we have in verse 11. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. Or maybe verse 8. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. And you know. You know. That you deserve the righteous wrath of God. That your sins are before him. And your sins are not forgiven. So numbering of our days, we'll push that to one side. What's the weather like tomorrow? Or will I die one day? Or where should we go on holiday next year? Push these thoughts to the back of our minds. Because we do not want to think about a holy God. We do not want to think that we are sinners before him. We do not want to think what we rightly deserve. Another reason why we do not number our days or do not wish to. We persuade ourselves there's no need. I'm only young. I've got plenty of days left yet. I'll start worrying about that when I'm in my 50s or 60s and things start getting a bit frail and we don't know. There is a need to number our days. There is a real need. And one other point why we are slow to number our days is because we love the world. We love the world too much and we do not want to let go of it. We've got too much in this world that we cannot afford to lose, or so we think. We've got bigger barns to build. We've got bigger ambitions and plans. I don't knock plans and ambitions if you have them rightly and for the right reason. But are you doing everything you're doing, pondering your days and applying your hearts to wisdom? But I want to, time is moving on, and I want to focus now on when we do number our days and the benefits in so doing. And you know, I felt led to read that first epistle of Peter together tonight. Because we have in there, don't we, in those last verses we read about the flesh is grass, the glory of man as the flower of grass, and so on and so forth. The grass withereth and the flower thereof falleth away. And if we are led to ponder our days, the brevity of life, and that we are as grass, when the Lord gives wisdom, we look to his word. And we look to that which endureth forever. And we look to that which we see earlier in this chapter, because we see that we are sinners in his word. We see that we have come short of his glory. We see that we deserve his righteous wrath. And we see that we need the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We see that we have our need to be redeemed, not with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with that precious blood. We see our need of a precious Saviour. We see our need to come crying to him, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. We see, as we apply our hearts unto wisdom, what his word teaches us. That sinners are welcome to a precious Christ. That the weary and heavy laden is who Christ came to call. Not the righteous. Not the righteous who see no need to number their days. But the sinner who is brought to number their days is welcome to the Saviour. The Saviour that came to save them. You know, I think of the lines of that hymn number 940-something, isn't it? This world, what is this world to me? 948. This world is not my home. A scene of pain, of grief and woe. When will my Saviour come? Oh, is that the effect you've known of numbering your years? When will my Saviour come? Come, O thou Saviour dear, and cheer my fainting soul. Appear, O gracious Lord, appear, and make the sinner whole. Because the sinner that has been led to number their days, the sinner that has been brought to see they're a sinner, and has been able to look to the precious blood of Christ, will still know they're a sinner. And yes, they may have been delivered from the penalty of sin. Yes, they may have been delivered in measure from the power of sin. But they long to be delivered from the presence of sin. They long to be with Christ and to be made like him. When will my Saviour come? Come, O thou Saviour dear, and cheer my fainting soul. Appear, O gracious Lord, appear, and make the sinner whole. Give me, O Lord, to prove thy pardoning love so sweet, that I may ever lay my soul at the dear Saviour's feet. Give me thy lowly mind, thy love to me impart, and grant that I may ever find the Saviour in my heart. Do you know what it is to ponder your years and to apply your heart unto wisdom. And by that gracious exercise, I grant that I may find the Saviour in my heart. Oh, that is the effect, isn't it? That's the effect when we are enabled to see and to grasp the things of this world with such a light hand. Be found looking unto Jesus. To number our days. But it will also have that effect where we ponder what we are doing with our days. Am I using my time in that right way? Am I doing it for myself or for God? You know, many of the confessions of faith, they begin in that way, don't they, and speak about what our end is. What is the chief end of man? It is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. It's not to glorify ourselves. That's what we're here for. And we come so far short. And when we are led to number our days, we say, what are we doing? What are we doing? Dear friends, what also will it do? As we are led to truly number our days, and if we are resting in Christ and in that precious blood, we'll be brought to that place where we long for the Lord's return. We long for him to come back. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Be looking for that day, because you'll have to prove that this life is a fight. This life is a wrestle. This life is a struggle. And yet, there is that time when God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, where there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Most of us know, in measure, tears, death, sorrow, crying, pain. But there will be a day when all those things are passed away. And when we are led to number our days and apply our hearts unto wisdom, oh, are we not able to come in with the last words in the book of the Bible? Surely I come quickly. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. You know, I didn't want to get personal tonight, but that was the last sermon my dad heard before he was suddenly taken. Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. How many of you tonight have been enabled to number your days and apply your hearts unto wisdom and can say tonight, even so, come, Lord Jesus? Oh, may we know the gracious power of the Holy Spirit teaching us to number our days, teaching us to apply our hearts to wisdom, bringing us into his word, applying it with power by his dear Spirit, so that we can be, as we read in Psalm 90, make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years when we have seen evil, to be filled with that gladness, to be filled with that rejoicing in that sweet hope an anticipation of the coming of our Saviour. Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So as we close this evening, whether we are in our 10s, our 20s, our 30s, our 40s, our 50s, our 60s, our 70s, or 80s, or maybe our 90s, teach us to number our days. And if we are unable tonight to number our days and apply our hearts unto wisdom, and if we are, by God's grace, lifted above this world for a moment tonight to that which is to come, to have those heavenly desires and be drawn away from these earthly ties, it will be a Thanksgiving day, even though we've not pondered life, but pondered death and looked to eternal life. So may it be our prayer tonight. Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Amen.
The collections today are for the Savannah Education Trust. Our closing hymn is number 410, 410. Oh, for a heart prepared to sing to God my Saviour and my King, while with his saints I join to tell my Jesus has done all things well. Hymn 410.
Oh,
holy and almighty God, give us each that numbering of our days to realise that soon we shall pass the veil of death. But may we be enabled to apply our hearts unto wisdom and know that in his arms shall lose our breath. And then my happy soul shall tell, my Jesus has done all things well. O Lord, when we go through those times as we pondered this afternoon with the children of Israel, when things do not seem to be going well or against what we would call is well, may we be given faith to see that all things work together for good. To them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to thy purpose. So now as we leave thy house, may thy word not leave us. May there have been something today which has caused that true thanksgiving. Thankful for outward mercies. Thankful for inward mercies. Thankful for a pricking or a troubling. Thankful for a comforting and an increase in joy. Lord, thou knowest what is needed and what has been done and what will be done with thy word today. And we pray that thy word today will carry forth into thy word tomorrow, and that we may rightly now prepare ourselves for thy day, for that one day in seven, set apart to worship thee. So be with this church and people. Bless them through another year of time. May we see thy goodness going before us if our lives are spared. But may we truly consider that which is to come. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.